Is this rolling?
It's rolling.
Is this rolling? I bought my bag.
What just happened?
I heard the fucking bonus song of Bare Naked Ladies.
Is
it rolling?
Okay. That was me in...
Let's get action.
Ninth grade? Was it? This is me in...
Grade nine.
There we go. This is me in ninth grade.
They call it grade nine in Canada.
They also call it craft dinner.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Bare Naked Ladies
episode. Yeah, it's like the craft table.
No. But they call it like macaroni and cheese craft dinner.
I know.
On the box.
Craft dinner.
Anyways, this is Month of Movies podcast for November of 2019. 18.
It's the 18.
2018. I said 19, though.
I know. That's next year.
That's
when this is going to come out.
I'm Scott.
I'm Jason.
Yeah, that's true. Both parts of what you said. You are Jason.
I am Jason.
This year, I'm watching part two of my list of scary movies I should watch that I haven't seen yet.
And I'm watching 3D movies and failing at it because I didn't watch any this month.
And the other movies that we have seen, I didn't mark the movies that are on my list to watch. God damn it.
I didn't either because I didn't watch any on my list.
Okay, can I come clean with you about this whole movie thing?
That you're just making it up as you go.
I really feel like I am because what happened at the beginning of the year, I was like, I'm going to watch these movies.
And then you added new movies and watched those instead. No,
kind of, because I couldn't find a lot of the movies. I couldn't find them. I couldn't find people that had them. I couldn't find them at rental places, at libraries,
what
online.
Do you think, listeners? Is he cheating?
Well, we'll find out. At our end of year thing, for the end of 2018, I'll have the list of... This is what my list originally was, and these are how many I watched off that list. And these are the ones that were also on the same list. Because I have a giant list of movies, like
hundreds. That sounds
hundreds.
Very confusing and boring.
I'll show you the picture. Anyways.
You just kept adding to it. I get it.
Well, no, I have a constant list of all the movies.
Well, I just kept buying movies.
Yeah. But I have a constant list of movies. But I only chose a chunk of those movies. I wasn't going to watch all of those because I would have to watch two movies a day for the whole year. So I just took specific 52 movies. And then I'm like,
well,
this movie...
Well, in January, you didn't say, this is the list of movies I'm watching.
This is true.
Listen to all the movies.
Well, then I watched like 90 off my list because these are all on the overall list.
That's going to be fun and confusing for you to...
Yeah, I'm going to hate it. Anyways, and all the other movies you watched besides that.
Yeah, like, for example, I saw Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald in the theater. That's not on my list.
I watched Venom in the theater. That's definitely on my list. Because it's not scary at all.
Well, I was going to start reviewing.
Oh. Continue.
That's why I said the title.
I said any other movies. Like for example, this movie.
It was me transitioning.
Oh, I thought it was a very good transition because I thought you were still talking about... Wow, I didn't see that segue.
Okay.
That crosswalk was blocked.
So I've seen all the Harry Potter movies.
I have too.
I have not read all the books. I only read one of them.
Don't remember much of the movies.
And then the one I read, it was good. So I'm going to eventually read them all. Because the books are always better than the movies. 99.9% of the time, this is a true fact. I've not seen one in reverse, but I'm sure they exist.
Yeah. I mean,
because you can't get all the facts of the book onto the screen. Plus, there's so much inner monologue or just like storytelling that can't translate into film.
Shawshank Redemption is one of the few that the movie was way better than the book.
You could say that too.
Yeah.
But that's a short story turned into a longer thing.
But also it was one of those that, like, the story is really good. Just like, right. It's almost exactly like the book, but the ending's different.
But sidetrack, Harry Potter did well.
Yeah.
So they're like, let's make more movies. Well, there's no books. No more books. Let's just make movies then. So then they started making the Fantastic Beasts movies. And I watched... Oh, shit. Was it last year? Fantastic Beasts. and where to find them. I watched April 2017. He's got something in his mouth. He pulled it out of his cage a bit. That looks like the new one. You probably can't hear that.
Keith, close to the mic.
They can't hear you over there. So April 2017, might have picked it up. I watched the first Fantastic Beasts movies. So I watched the second one in the theater. So Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was a good movie that wasn't based on anything, that just happened to take place
In
the world of Harry Potter. The second movie is like, so you like Harry Potter, we're going to try to shove as much Harry Potter in a non-Harry Potter movie, even though Harry Potter's not even born yet. There was so much backstory of characters, I had no idea what was going on. Dumbledore was in this movie. Jude Law as Dumbledore.
Yep.
Reverse it. And he was hardly in the movie, but it was more about him.
Holy shit!
It was more about him, even though he was hardly in it.
Sorry.
Then good old Grindelwald, played by Johnny Depp. Yeah, the cat is freaking out on catnip.
He was shaking everything.
Anyway, this movie felt... There's probably people listening to this podcast who like this movie, so I'm sorry. This movie felt very disjointed. There was a lot of random shit happening. Well, it probably wasn't random, but it felt random to me as a person watching it, not knowing all the lore.
Mm-hmm.
Felt disjointed. I still don't fully understand what Grindelwald was trying to accomplish in this movie, but it was bad, I guess. I was going to say there's not that many Fantastic Beasts, but thinking back, there actually is quite a few, and they're cool.
They are fantastic.
They are pretty fantastic.
Okay.
But there were parts of the movie I got bored, parts I didn't understand what was going on, and the plot... I couldn't tell you what the plot of the movie was. The special effects of the monsters looked cool. The end battle scene looked kind of cool, even though I didn't understand why it was happening. Someone was trying to explain it to me, and I get it a little bit, but I'm still confused. I was not a fan. I gave it a 5.5.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was not a fan. I'm sorry for all you people who loved it. Pass on this. If you don't like Harry Potter and stuff... The first Fantastic Beasts is pretty good. I would recommend that one and not this one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
See a movie.
Any movie
you saw.
First movie I watched was a movie called The Monster Club.
No, not Monster Squad.
No, Monster Club. This
not
movie...
Not to be confused with Monster Squad.
No. That one was...
that came out after...
Yeah, I think
Monster Squad came out after Monster Club, I'm pretty
sure. Probably, but it's got to be close. It's got to be close.
What is that? You think that movie came out that much later?
I think Monster Club came out probably early 80s, late 70s.
Monster Squad came out in 87.
87. Monster Club was 81.
I was right by 6 years.
Five. Wait, six.
87.
Yeah.
Minus sorry. 81.
Anyways, this is an anthology movie, and...
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that one, sorry.
About Monster Club?
No, the Halloween movie. I don't remember what it was now.
Halloween?
No, the one that had a bunch of short... Not Trick or Treat, but it was a different one.
Okay, I like those. I like anthology movies.
The cover looked familiar, and I don't remember what it was now. Continue talking while I search.
Monster Squad. It's an anthology movie, but I guess the umbrella story that kind of takes place around the stories is this author. This author is like, hey, sir, I see you're in trouble. Can I help you? And it's Vincent Price. Like, oh, I need something to eat. He's like, oh, let me help you. He's like, I can help you. And then he like sucks his blood. He's like, oh, thank you. I'm Vincent Price. I'm a vampire. He's like, oh dear. He's like, you're that author. You write horror books. He's like, I sure do. He's like, I love your work. Come here. I want to show you this cool place. It's the Monster Club. It's a It's a clubhouse. Not
damn,
clubhouse.
I almost started singing already.
It's like a bar.
A surprise.
It's like a bar that plays like a band that's playing, and then everyone's dancing like an actual club, but for monsters. And then, and as he's like, and next to it, there's this like this whole chart inside here about all these different creatures, like a vampire and a werewolf, and all stuff like that, and ghouls and whatnot, and. If a vampire
googles and whatnot,
and if a vampire mates with a ghoul, it makes a vamp ghoul and stuff like that.
It doesn't make any sense.
It felt like something they're trying to aim towards, like 10-year-olds. It felt really weird. But then he would like tell a story, like here's a story about this kind of character or this kind of person or this kind of person. So the first story, I don't even remember what it was. Oh boy! But I remember there was like a vampire story that was like very cheesy. There was like a one about like a ghoul and stuff like that. And like the stories were all right. They felt very like the movie overall was all right, but it intrigued me. But here's the thing: it took place in 81.
Tales of Halloween.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
But as they're in this club, it's a place like all the monsters in the club that are dancing on the floor.
Poster's pretty
That's
sweet.
A pretty cool poster. It's like one of those pictures where like
it's a skull, but it's also a tree.
It's like a moon behind a tree, and then it looks like a skull and there's shadows and stuff. Anyways, the Monster Club. This band is playing the whole time, and these songs that they have, it looks like they're trying to be like hardcore, but then the songs just turn in. Like I have a song queued up because. This song was stuck in my head, and I sing it all Halloween.
I almost started singing it just now when you mentioned the movie.
So
I did not watch this movie.
So this dude is singing, and then it goes into the chorus. I'm like, this chorus does not fit anything. So. Wants to meet you. He's waiting for the moon to greet you. Sister Snake with a poison touch. Wants to catch you in a midnight crush. Got a friend you know you can trust. Okay, so I didn't know what they were saying during it, but
yeah.
The chorus is "Monsters rule, okay."
Monsters rule.
I don't know why, but that song I sang it all night on Halloween, and it, God damn it. Oh no, it wasn't Halloween. I'm like, wait a minute, I watched this in November, but Brian's party was the
November 1st,
November like 3rd or something. Yeah, third. But the story, like I said, the stories were okay. The songs were weird, but every song it felt so childish in a way because you know, like you go to a monster club and there's monsters dancing around. They look like they're just wearing Halloween latex masks, mm-hmm. like just bad. But every song was about them being monsters, and I'm like, does that happen? Like, I feel weird because you don't like go to like, hey, where do plumbers hang out? The plumbers hang out at this bar over here, and then every song that the band sings is about plumbing. Like we're monsters, yeah, Frankenstein's monsters, and then like there's one song about like after they show the vampire portion, like they sing a song like something about sucking something, suck my love, suck my love.
Keep saying it.
God damn it. Whatever. It was actually
suck my love.
It was actually a pretty sucker for your love. But man, oh man, was it, that movie was so full of cheese, but it was kind of neat. I don't know. There's nothing special about it. And Vincent Price probably got paid more money than he should have because he didn't do shit in that movie. But he was old by that point. I gave it a 6. I don't know, man. It's Monsters Rule Okay. The next movie I watched, now, Jason, if I said, watch this movie.
Okay.
And I said, look on IMDb and try to figure out which movie I meant. It's called...
I don't know if I can...
It's called The Triangle.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you guess how many movies are just called The Triangle that are horror? There's a few.
There are two.
No, it's more than two.
More title matches. 80.
So,
well, with triangle in the title,
yeah, 80. But
there's one called Pizza Triangle. That's an amazing name of a movie. Satan's Triangle.
But the movie that I watched was called The Triangle. But I should probably say which year it is so that...
Triangle 2009?
Nope. 2016.
2016.
Because my friend at work, Eric, he watched The Triangle. He was like, you gotta check it out. It's awesome. I'm like, okay. And then I watched The Triangle.
David Blair.
I watched The Triangle, and I'm like, yeah, that was pretty awesome. And we started talking about it. We talked about it for like 3 minutes before we realized we saw different movies.
Okay, so the one you saw, I'm gonna read this and see if this is the one you saw.
Hold on.
Four filmmakers take their cameras into the Montana wilderness to document mysterious inner workings of a young community with a giant secret.
Yes. Now, the one that Eric saw was a movie that says, a group of friends suffer a yachting accident and take refuge on a cruise drifting out in the open sea, but quickly realize they're better off on the unturned yacht. But anyways, so yeah, so the triangle from 2016 that I saw.
Grammar.
These guys, it's one of those where it's a documentary, like a found footage type movie, and I was like, okay, this might be... I don't know. I'm iffy on those because there's few and far between of found footage movies that are awesome. But this one, they get a postcard from their friend who they haven't seen in years, who like went off to live in a commune out in Montana somewhere. He's like, hey guys, I could really use your help. This would be great for your documentary stuff because one of the friends like does documentaries and whatnot. He's like, this would be a great subject for a documentary. Come check us out. Come to the commune and stuff. And they get there, and they're like, all right, here's the thing. The guy's like, yeah, some of the people may not enjoy you guys being there. And you're like, oh, I can see where this movie's going to turn. And then, like, you know, they're slowly getting integrated into the commune. People are actually starting to warm up to them and stuff. But, like, then every once in a while, like, there's people talking, like, behind closed doors. Like, can you please stop recording us and this stuff? You're like, okay, there's something going on here and whatnot. And you think you know where the plot's going, then suddenly at the beginning, end of act two, beginning of act three of the movie, it takes a fucking hard left turn and I go, oh my God, this is the type of movie I like. and then you go, I'm like, oh, so all everyone's behavior so far has been pretty accurate. It's not like they're going, hey, I don't like this about you. It's like, well, I was acting away because of this. Like, no. The people that do and don't know what's going on are acting the way you'd kind of expect them to. But it's... I thought the acting in the movie was great. And the thing that messes me up the most is look at the cast list.
Yeah, there's not a big cast.
Andrew Rizzo.
All of them plays are
himself. Pitching. Lee Rizzo plays himself.
Well, they all say himself except... Brick, his name is Rick.
Yeah, but...
he's otherwise
himself. But again, Claire, herself, John, himself, Nicholas, himself. And, like, that's kind of cool. But then so again...
You're trying to go for, like, a Blair Witch. Hey, this is real.
Yeah, because that's how Blair Witch 1 and 2 were, pretty much. Like, they were all about their real names, pretty much, kind of. But no, I thought the acting in it was cool. It had, like, it was a found footage movie... In the sense that it was like a handheld camera movie.
Because
I hate using the name found footage because that means like, hey, someone found this.
Someone died and this is what's left.
And I just use that for like handheld camera footage because like, yeah.
Yeah.
But no.
Found footage is like bad shit happened and like this is what we found.
Yeah, I mean like shit happens for sure.
Right.
But
if you call it found footage, you have a feeling that it's
you have
an idea how it's gonna end.
It's marked as a horror mystery on IMDb.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like a supernatural documentary without as many talking heads. You know, I don't know. But the movie itself, like I really liked it. IMDb did not give it a good score.
No, it didn't.
But I enjoyed it a lot. And I want to talk to people about it.
Wait, hang on. Let me see if I can find it on this app. I was just
looking. It is on Tubi.tv.
Okay.
That's how I watched it, which was great because I think it was on Tubi TV.
this will be fun.
Either way, when you're watching a movie that's like a documentary and then it cuts to commercials, that's a weird feeling, and it feels real, like it right.
Triangle, 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 triangle.
What are you doing?
Triangle Man, Triangle Man.
You doing?
It's on Prime Video.
Okay.
I have an app that you can search for movies, and it tells you what streaming service has it.
Okay.
But I mainly use it because I type in movies I like or movies I didn't like, and I rate them, and then it gives me a list of movies I should see.
Okay.
And it's pretty damn accurate.
So Triangle says you should watch...
It says it's on Prime Video, so I don't know if it's a rental.
Oh, okay.
But it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, because you click on it, and then it's got the trailer, and then you can see where it's on.
Yeah, I mean, I could see people not liking it, but also at the same time, like...
It's like, triangle, triangle, triangle. Triangle, triangle.
But like, it's one of those movies, like, I can see people not liking it, but knowing me and knowing... And knowing... how the story is, like, it's, if anything, it reminds me kind of, like, a little bit of Lost, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So.
The mystery.
Yeah.
I love the mystery box.
But, yeah, I gave it an 8. I like it. I very much enjoyed it.
The next movie I watched, I minimized my list.
You did it.
Was Mallrats.
I spit my gum out.
So... I've seen this more times than I can count.
At least two? At least?
I own this movie at least three times. Maybe four. Because I have VHS, I have DVD, I have HD DVD. I don't think I have Blu-ray, though. Because the HD DVD has the unrated version, which has the beginning...
The
stuff that got cut out that I prefer it better without it because that seems slow and I understand why they cut that.
The whole CNN thing. Did I see it on CNN?
Yeah. But I watched this because I brought up the movie because Stan Lee died and I mentioned how this was my favorite Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and my girlfriend didn't see the movie, so I'm like, we're going to watch it. So we watched it. And it definitely doesn't hold up, but I've seen it so many times. It's got the nostalgia factor and, like, quotableness and predictability. But, like, watching it now after multiple years of not watching it, the acting's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Some of the takes are pretty bad, but... the ridiculousness was amazing. I think there was a couple jokes that I didn't get the first time, or the first however many times I've seen it. I'm like, I get that now. It's a fun movie. It's just a weird direction from Clerks. Like, this is the follow-up to Clerks. It's so different. It's got a special part in my heart. For it, I like this movie. It's not amazing, but I enjoy it. And each time I watch it, I enjoy it. I gave it a 7.5. Oh, I guess I should talk about the movie.
I'll just say one thing that upsets me the most. Like, I mean, I know now that Stan Lee's dead,
mm-hmm.
this movie already has two strikes against it. Stan Lee's dead. She's like, aw.
Ben Affleck's in it.
Yeah, three strikes.
Michael Rooker's in it.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know.
I was going to say the Jaws ride they mentioned numerous times.
Oh, yeah.
That's closed.
It's closed. Because this was Ben Affleck's first movie.
Was it his first?
Yeah.
I know it's Jason Lee's
first. And Jason Lee's first movie, because this was when Jason Lee was still a professional skateboarder.
Professional in quotes.
And between takes, he was being in the parking lot skateboarding and stuff. But yeah, it was Ben Affleck's first movie. And you can tell because he's a really bad actor in this.
In this.
In this. He's amazing elsewhere.
But then also, like, Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith are not good actors ever.
No. He's decent in this, but the only reason why Kevin Smith's decent actor is because he doesn't talk.
No shit. He'll be like, hey guys, listen to my podcast. Like, you don't sound sincere when you're telling the truth.
But anyway, in case you've never seen the movie Mallrats, the two main characters...
Brody.
Yeah, Brody and Holden. They both get dumped by their girlfriends at the same time. So to clear their minds, they go to the mall. And the people working at the mall don't like them because they're just a bunch of mall rats. Kids who hang out at the mall and don't buy anything. And they just basically loiter.
No, T.S. Quint. Quint. T.S. Quint.
Quint.
Oh, that makes sense because Jaws.
So they go to the mall and they find out that the one guy's ex-girlfriend's dad is putting a game show in the mall. And his ex-girlfriend is going to be the contestant on a dating game show. So they try to stop the filming of the show in the mall. And a bunch of hilarity ensues. Just a lot of quotable lines. Yeah, like I said, Kevin Smith's second movie, Santa Jaws. But yeah, Stan Lee plays himself in the movie because there's a comic shop in the mall. And he's signing autographs and helps Brody through his heartbreak. The awesome part, now that I'm like, I know a lot more about comic books than I did when I first watched this movie, is watching the intro and recognizing every single artist who did like the drawings.
I recognize all the covers.
Because it's like, oh my god, that's blah, blah, blah. Oh my god, that's blah, blah, blah. Like, I can tell exactly who drew what, and it's amazing. But yeah, I gave it a 7.5.
Alright.
The next movie I watched was one that we were gonna see, but MoviePass shit itself.
Poop.
And Scott didn't watch this with me, but we were gonna go see it, and it's Sorry to Bother You.
Oh yeah.
Because for some reason, all of a sudden it was on Hulu, and I was like, huh, I'm gonna watch this, because this seems like a mistake to have this exclusively on Hulu before HBO or Showtime or anything. So I watched it. It is a weird movie. I don't know how to explain this movie in detail without giving anything away.
Yeah.
But the main character gets a job at basically a telemarketer, and he's trying to sell stuff over the phone, but he calls someone and then they hang up, But it's interesting because it's shot different. So, like, when he calls somebody, the entire office, like, drops into that person's house and whatever they're doing at the time. Mm-hmm. And it shows you what they're interrupting when he calls and stuff like that. And then, and his sales are horrible. And he meets Danny Glover's in this movie as well. And he's like, no, you got to use your white voice to sell stuff because black voice people think is threatening. So then he has, like, a white voice and he talks on the phone to try to sell stuff. And then he starts selling stuff like crazy, and he basically works himself up the ladder.
Uh-huh.
But that's as much as I'm going to say about the movie, because I don't want to give too much away. But his girlfriend is the girl from Ragnarok, Valkyrie.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a job as a sign spinner, like on the corner spinning signs and stuff. She's amazing in this movie.
I don't even know where the Quiznos is.
It was a fun movie. If you've seen this movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, whatever. But the movie seems... I mean, it's very interesting and shot. But there's a certain part in the movie that you're just like, what the fuck? And if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what part I'm talking about. It makes sense, but this movie is one of those that's just a giant metaphor. So it's pretty... in your face, hey, this is what this movie's about. So the what the fuck moment kind of makes sense from that point of view.
Yeah.
But if you're just watching a face value movie, it is not that kind of movie.
Like Mother.
No, that one's even more so than anything else. Ooh. Mother is so far from a normal movie. This is closer to a normal movie. But I thought it was decent. I have a feeling I would have liked it better if I saw it in the theater, but and got to watch it with an audience so you can, like, judge everyone.
See how people are reacting.
Yeah. I gave it a 7.
Okay.
It was good, but it was different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I think about that. It was a good movie. It's just caught me off guard, and I didn't expect that. And like I said, if you haven't seen the movie, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you did, you have some idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know Kelly was talking.
But that started to bother you. Yeah, Kelly was into the movie until that one part.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is dumb. But Brett loved it.
Yeah, and then, like, you explained, like, when I was working with her at the comic shop, I was kind of explaining, like, talking to her. She's like, yeah, this and this. And once Jason kind of explained to me, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool and so that. And, like, just after you kind of explained a certain situation to her.
Right.
She was like, she...
I mean, I could say it in two. I could say two words and give it away, but I'm not going to. And then it's like, oh,
let's just make up two words. I'm like, oh no, what if I was right?
It's water cooler. Just kidding. It's not the word.
Cellar door.
Get
the keys. It's Donnie Darko.
Yeah, cellar door. All right, watch Donnie Darko again. See if that holds up.
I don't know.
And I want to watch the original, not the director's cut.
And then you can watch S. Darko.
Nope. I don't know if I'm ever going to watch that.
It's not... Like, it's way better than I thought it was going to be, but at the same time, it's like... Not what the fuck?
Because I remember Southland Tales and being disappointed.
Yeah.
But I'm like, now that I've seen it, maybe, like, the hype's gone, and it'll be better?
I don't know. I do eventually kind of want to see that movie.
Southland Tales?
Yeah. Anyways, speaking of things being overhyped.
I just touched the button. Don't go to sleep.
I watched a movie, and I'm already kind of tired of talking about it, because everyone was talking to me. Everyone was talking to me about it, like, the week it came out. Like, hey, did you see it yet? Did you see it yet? Because one of my favorite characters...
It just came out.
Oh. One of my favorite...
I was going to date this. It just came out on DVD.
Yeah, it did. And I didn't buy it yet because they said they're going to release... They were talking about releasing an unrated version, and none of the ones that came out were unrated.
Right.
So I watched Venom. He's one of my favorite characters. Tom Hardy. I don't see why everyone loves him so much, but I guess the movies that people loved him in, I haven't seen. So I guess, whatever.
No, Venom isn't getting an unrated cut.
You sons of bitches. Fuck you.
That's what it says.
Although they did have an extended cut. They did have an extended scene of the final after credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just him going, oh yeah, I'm here. By the way, he actually leads up to that line. So it doesn't sound as disjointed as him just going, just going to be good. Fuck. I don't give a shit. Anyways, this movie.
It says, I'm proud of the movie we put out, and I think that the additional material on the DVD adds a bit more of the color of the film. I don't feel the need at this point to release an unrated version. I feel like the fans seem to really like this movie that we put out. So he's not talking to you.
Nope. I'll just read the books if I want Venom.
Yeah. I mean, you'll pick it up eventually. It's going to be...
Yeah, I'll wait till Black Friday next year.
If it's even there, yeah.
Or wait till like
half. Or you might get it for your birthday.
Yeah. But there's like special versions right now and so like that. Then I'm like, yeah. Anyways,
the Venom music video is on it. It's terrible.
God damn it. Anyways, Venom is a comic book that they took.
Comic book.
All right. Yeah. I also tried to do the voice, and I couldn't remember how it went. So Eddie Brock, he's a reporter. He's a reporter, and there's this big place called the Life Foundation, and then the main guy Riz Ahmed. I can't remember his.
It's not the movie.
I can't remember his. Is it the snake one?
It's got a gun. I don't know. It looks like a snake.
But he it's basically a SpaceX type scenario where like Riz Ahmed. I can't remember his real name. His
Ra's
name,
al Ghul?
No, his name in the movie. But it's kind of like a SpaceX Carlton Drake. He's kind of like Elon Musk, where he's like he started off really early and then he became a millionaire and he was like exploring space and stuff. And then because Eddie Brock his girlfriend, who was played by Michelle Williams, and she works for this. She's like a lawyer, and he sneaks onto her laptop and finds all this secret stuff, illegal things that that the Life Foundation is doing. He's like, I'm gonna go do an interview with him and bring up these things because I'm an edgy reporter. I'm an edgy reporter who records these videos and talks to the interviews. And then right away, like, they kick him out, and then he gets fired from his paper, and then his girlfriend loses the case and all this stuff, so she breaks up with him. He's like, oh, I'm so sad about everything. Anyways, long story short, the villain of the movie basically is just like, hey, I'm going to come to Earth and repopulate it. Awesome. And Venom's like, I don't want them to. Cool. That's the plot. It's just like...
Wait, he doesn't even have the symbol?
No, because he doesn't have the spider symbol on it because Spider-Man has something to do with his origin. But he has a bunch of veins. He has a bunch of veins and stuff all over his body that kind of give it the sort of symbol type thing.
But like, that's why he looks kind of weird.
Yeah, the acting in it isn't good. Michelle Williams is... it felt like they popped her on set and went, hey, let's dope you up first, and then we'll give you the lines, and then just we'll do one take. And then
they got her at the end of a shooting day.
Yeah.
Of some other movie that she effort in.
Huh? Like, it feels like she is her character from Dawson's Creek. Like, she
kills herself.
But then, like, Tom Hardy.
Just kidding.
Everyone thinks that he was amazing in that movie. I'm like, it looked like he shit his pants the entire time, just walking around, like, sort of like lurching around, and his accent kept being weird. The villain, Riz Ahmed, like, he was so, I'm doing this because I think this is right. And you're like, what is, no, I don't know. And then, like, nothing gelled for me at all. The only cool parts were, like, when he was Venom, and he was fighting things, but not the end fight. The end fight was garbage.
I saw the trailer, he had the blades and he cut desks in half or something.
Yeah, that was like right near the end of the movie. Yeah. I'm just tired of talking about how much I don't like this movie.
Next movie.
I gave it a 4.5.
Wow.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So last month, I talked to you about Into the Dark series. The Into the Dark series that Hulu is doing, where it's a horror movie every month. Last month was October, so they had Halloween. This month is Thanksgiving.
So they have November.
They do have a November one.
I know.
So the November one is a movie called Flesh and Blood.
Sounds funny.
This has, up to this point, has been the best one. Body was good, but this one was better. Flesh and Blood. The movie starts, the family is like husband, wife, daughter sitting around the table, Thanksgiving, having a great time. And then it cuts to present day. And the original scene was bright, colorful and stuff, and also it cuts to the present, and it's like the dark blues and like oh shit, this is drastically changed. And it's just the daughter and the dad. The mom's gone. And you're like, oh shit. What happened to her? And then as the movie's going, you find out that someone murdered her last year right after Thanksgiving. Oh. You're like, oh, okay. And the daughter got really depressed after that, and she has a fear of going outside. I forget what it's called. Agoraphobia or something?
Agoraphobia.
Yeah. So she's in a chat group online with people who have agoraphobia, and she's afraid to leave the house, and... So she's in the house alone a lot because the dad goes to work, comes back, and they're remodeling their house. So there's tarps everywhere, and they're remodeling.
I can see where this is going.
They're remodeling the whole house. It's like, because now that the mom's gone, he's like, I'm going to remodel the house because it's something that we've been meaning to do, and we can do this. And the dad gives the girl, because her birthday is like 6 days before Thanksgiving. And gives his daughter a birthday gift. It says, happy birthday. She's like, oh, it's this little necklace that's kind of cool looking. And she's wearing it and stuff. And all of a sudden, one day, because it's like showing a countdown to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
The dad goes to work and stuff. And then she's watching the TV and there's breaking news. This girl was murdered. And it shows a picture of her. Like, we don't know where she is. I shouldn't say murdered. She's missing. This girl's missing, and the parents are on TV saying, we miss her daughter so much, blah, 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 blah. And they show a picture, and she's wearing the necklace. And she's like, what? And then she's, like, trying to figure out if her dad is responsible, because it's a very unique necklace.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, are you responsible for this? He's like, what are you talking about? Why would I... What do you mean I'm responsible? Like... And he's, like, trying to figure out why she's accusing him of doing all this stuff. And her paranoia starts, like, escalating and stuff. Mm. And it gets, like, that's as much as I can say about the movie. But the movie is so suspenseful. There's so many times I'm just, like, at the edge of my seat. And there were a couple times when things happened, I'm like, oh, my God, I did not expect that. Like... they just caught me off guard, but like just the subtleness, like all the actors in the movie were amazing.
Yeah.
And the subtleties and the director of it did a phenomenal job. And it was just, it just kept me on edge. It reminded me of like old Hitchcock where the suspense is the movie. Like the plot is very generic,
mm-hmm.
but they did it in a way that made you question everything. And then like feel like, you know, a little bit. Oh, and I thought it was phenomenal. It was, I'm going to say it now. It was like the best movie I watched this month. I gave it an 8.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I highly recommend this to people who like horror movies.
I was saying like for like horror movies, I'm like, you start saying keywords and stuff. I'm like, all right, I can kind of plan out like certain scenes that will be happening and stuff. I'm like, I know this shit's gonna happen. This is gonna happen. Like, I know at least this is gonna happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of like predictable things, but also not at the same time.
Because I'm like, you don't have to spoil it, but like, one of my first inclinations, like, I feel like there's a point at least where she might stab her dad.
I'm not gonna say anything, but that's funny.
Like, I just feel like there's some point that like something will happen.
Yeah, I could get into more details about the plot and stuff, but I feel like that should give you enough of a taste of the movie that the little things I would say you would come across in the movie like casually and be like, oh, you didn't mention that. I'm like, well, on purpose, because I want you to try to figure it out yourself, too. Like, because I watched this movie not knowing anything about it.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, oh, a new Into the Dark. I'm going to watch it. I don't know what it's about. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
So, I think there's only 12 total. So, September of next year will be the last one. So, I'll watch each one as they come out.
I hope April's April Fool's Day.
It probably will be. I want to say it's the first Friday of every month. So, I think December's came out later because it started on... or this one did. I don't remember. One of them. Yeah, because December started on Saturday, so it was like the 7th it comes out. But yeah, I gave it an 8.5. I thought it was really good.
All right.
Yeah, because it's the dad...
Yeah,
is the main actor from Best Friend Reading, My Best Friend's Wedding. And he was also in New Girl and stuff.
Yeah, he's been a lot of stuff.
He's been a lot of stuff. I feel like I see him in way too many things. I don't know how he has a life if he's in so many things. But anyway. He was also in Shameless.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. So the next movie I watched was on my list. It's called Lake Mungo. And
Lake Mungo?
M-U-N-G-O.
Mungo.
It was one of the 8 movies to die for many years back. Like the after midnight horror fest, the horror fest.
Why did I say late? Because you're talking about the late movies.
But it was
2008.
Yeah, so it was like one of the earlier years, maybe like the third year, or second year, or whatever. I don't remember.
But, it's advertising Aquaman.
But
it says lake
now. I enjoyed the way they did the movie.
It looks like a documentary type.
Exactly.
Like family videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a document. It's basically like a documentary. So it's like the second documentary movie that I watched this month. But it's like a documentary where like they're talking to this family about their daughter and all the stuff that happened afterwards. So they got, like, but it's like it's from the people that made it were live in Australia, so everyone's Australian. But there's a lake called Lake Mungo, where like. The family was out camping or, like, or just, like, at the beach at the lake. And as they're, like, they're kind of hanging out and stuff like that, they turn around and then the daughter's just gone. Like, they saw her by the water and suddenly she's just gone. And they looked and looked and looked and they couldn't find her. And eventually, like, I can't remember, like, days later, the police called, like, hey, we found your daughter. We need you to come down to identify. And the mother's like, no, I don't believe she's still out there. She has to still be alive. And the father's like, no, I'll go take a look. And he's like, yeah, it's her. He's like, if she drowned in the lake, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all like being told like through this documentary like style, like a 2020 or like a 60 minutes or whatever, like
mm-hmm.
like a and
serialized.
But then like, as the story's going on, like the brother, he starts having all these like things where he's like, oh. He has all these recordings, like, of him just recording things, and his sister is showing up in the recordings. And you're like, oh, shit. She's showing up in the recordings. And then the mother's like, see, I told you she's still alive. She's not dead. And they're like, and then the father even starts, like, second-guessing, like, did I actually see this or not? And then you find out the son was, like, just fucking with them. He's, like, doing, like, different tricks where, like, he'll, like, have a video of her on the TV and then, like, sort of, like, record it through, like, a mirror and some of that. And, like, just all these different things. But then, like, near the end of the movie, it starts getting, like, really fucking weird. And the ending happened and I went,
no.
So what? What? But the, like, it was a neat story and kind of neat in that aspect. But the problem is, I don't mean to be racist, but Australians? No, I'm just kidding. No,
we're all criminals.
No, the way that actors, I don't know if it's like just their sort of way of talking, but they kind of like, yeah, we tried finding her, but you know, we searched and we couldn't find her, so we tried. And like, it
sounds like they're not being serious.
No, it sounds like they're being serious. It sounds like they're real people. But it just, the speed of them talking, the urgency of putting out the lines and everything made the movie feel longer and more dull than it was. Mm. Like, I'm like, this is a big point right here that just happened. But they're kind of like, yeah, I mean, like, we were wondering how this happened and this. And like, you're like, it felt, but so when it came to the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that was the end. Because it didn't feel like a climax. Because I felt like there wasn't enough, like, in it, that
intensity.
Yeah, but it was, I have to give it to them, because like that was one of the few movies I saw in that kind of style that was so like, that's, I always like
unique.
Yeah, I like unique. I mean, like, I know there's like been like documentaries and stuff like that, but like this legit felt like I was watching, you know, like a crime documentary show that just had some sort of supernatural aspect to it. And I don't know, it was decent. I give it a 6 out of 10. So, I don't know.
Boom, boom. All right, so the next movie I watched, you watched.
Yeah, that's...
Cooties.
Yeah, based on the board game.
Nope. I remember writing this down a long time ago when I found out it existed.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like an interesting movie.
Yeah.
It's basically a zombie film in school.
Yeah.
Where the infection is only spread... through people who haven't hit puberty yet.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I was disappointed to find out it literally was a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Because I was really hoping that it was Cooties. Yeah. I was hoping it was just Cooties.
Yeah.
And everyone's like freaking out. They have Cooties. And like trying to kiss everybody instead of biting them and stuff. Like, I was hoping it was going to be like that aspect. Where, like, right. It's a zombie take on,
yeah,
like a made up thing.
Yeah, that would have been a way better movie.
Yeah.
Because this was a comedy.
Yeah.
It was obviously a horror comedy.
Elijah Wood.
Rainn Wilson.
Kim Pine from Scott Pilgrim. Alison Pill. That's it.
I was going to say Kim Possible.
Alison Pill is in it. The guy who plays Kenneth on 30 Rock was McBrayer.
Oh, yeah. Kenneth.
No.
Jim McBrayer. No.
Josh? No.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Jack.
Jack McBrayer.
Is that it?
I think so.
You're looking it up?
Yeah. Jack.
And then,
Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, and then a guy from, one of the ladies, what's her name? I want to say Nadia, that's not right, from Saturday Night Live. She was on...
Well, we list the top four already.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so, it starts with, like, a girl eating a chicken nugget that was tainted.
It was so gross. Tainted nuggets were nasty.
And then they just, like, kind of, like, the kids were slowly turning into zombies and spreading, and then the adults, the teachers...
yeah, that's right, Hurley was just... Oh, yeah. High the whole time.
Yeah, Hurley was in the bus. But
Jorge Garcia. Over, wow, Jorge Garcia, that is the most generic Hispanic name.
But, like, to me, the movie was like, hey, these kids are here. Well, they're zombies. Like, we gotta find a way to get away from them. Okay, now what do we do? Wait for this. We waited for this. Now what? We did this. Now what?
The structure of it felt...
It felt
like it wasn't there.
It felt like they didn't really have a script. Like, let's just fuck around with the camera.
Yeah. Like, here's our premise. Let's just do jokes and go to another location and do more.
Yeah. It felt like Rainn Wilson's like, hey, I do this all the time. Let's.
Looking back, it doesn't seem like... I had fun watching it while it was happening. But then once it was done, I was like, that's it?
Yeah. The characters, like, some of the characters, like, were really wacky in the beginning. You know, like, oh, I can't wait to see more of these characters. And then once the panic set in, they were just...
Normal
people. Like, yeah.
Like Rainn Wilson?
Dual rear wheel. Yeah. That part was... I liked that part a lot. That was my favorite part of the movie. Like, he tried saying dual rear wheel.
Yeah.
And he just kept, like, dual rear wheel. But he said it about 20 times, trying to correct himself.
But I feel like his accent that he was trying to do made it funnier.
Yeah.
But then, like, later, he just didn't have the accent anymore. And you're like, oh, well, I liked his character because he had the crazy accent. Yeah.
And then the one guy was like, he was just, like, talking, and he's just, shut up, please be quiet. We weren't saying anything.
Yeah. That joke happened a lot.
Yeah, too many times.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. It wasn't amazing, but...
Yeah,
I gave it a 6.5.
He gave it a 5.5. Because it was one of those, like, I was excited for it, and I was, like, watching it, and, like, kind of waiting for it to pick up.
Yeah.
And then it
did. But there were parts, like, looking back, it's not as good of a movie as it was while I was in it, I feel.
Yeah.
Because I remember laughing out loud, but looking back, I'm like, it wasn't that great. But while it was happening, it was fun. So that's why I gave it a 6.5. And then the last movie I watched was Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph 2. I can... Oh, shit.
What did you do? You screwed it up.
Oh, that's not a good sound.
Sure it is. It means it's working.
It means it's working.
Did you delete your whole list?
Uh-huh. No.
So, Venom, another thing about Venom. Like...
You didn't want to talk about Venom.
I know, it just...
Why? Oh, is that not...
But there's so many things about it that bother me. Like, I know it's not the same as the character in the book, but then, like, I don't understand when they take movies and go, hey, you know that thing that you, read?
I apparently didn't watch the first one during our podcast.
Of what?
Wreck-It Ralph.
I don't know.
It's not on my list. So, sorry. You want to talk about Venom more?
No, I was going
to
say, I don't understand why they go, hey, we're going to make this movie, but we have the rights, we have the characters, but we're going to make them nothing at all like the books. They're like, yo, it's a new, fresh take. I'm like, but then it's not that character that you're wanting to make that movie from. It's like, hey, you know this guy, this limo driver that you that always sings funny songs? We're going to make a movie about that guy. Except he's not going to drive a limo. He rides a bike, and also he just reads poetry. That's not the fucking same character. It's we remade him. No, it's not the same character. It's not, don't change it. It's like, it's not that drastic of a change, but like...
No, poetry is music.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like...
Well, music, like, is poetry is what I meant to say, not...
I don't know, like, Eddie Brock's character, like, the whole point of him, like, being creepy... I know he's not supposed to be creepy because he's the main character, he's the protagonist. He's the
anti-hero.
Yeah, he's still the protagonist of the movie, but he's initially the villain. So it's like where Eddie Brock in the comics, he'd be like, oh, this person's giving me trouble. I'm going to beat him up. I don't give a crap about you. In this one, he's like, beat people up. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. Oh, please. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. You guys are gunning you. Don't apologize for hitting you in the face. Jesus Christ. I got to figure this out. I'm Eddie Brock. I'm a reporter.
So I watched Ralph Breaks the Internet. Ugh. And if you haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph, the first one, I didn't review that one. But
they wrecked it.
They wrecked it. No. Wreck-It Ralph is the villain in a game called Fix-It Felix. Whoops, I was standing on that. And the first movie, okay. You find out that he's the villain, but he wants to be friends with people. And he's got a bad rap. And he becomes a hero in the end because Vanellope's hero or whatever. Anyway, the second movie.
Good symbolism.
Yeah. So the Wreck-It Ralph is a bunch of video game characters that hang out in an arcade. Once the arcade's closed, they all meet at the Surge Protector and hang out and do stuff. And this movie, the arcade game that Vanellope's in, the steering wheel breaks. And they're going to just get rid of the arcade machine because you can't get the steering wheel anymore. It's on eBay for a lot of money. And he's like, yeah, I don't make that much in a year or in a month. So I'm not going to buy that steering wheel. So the character's like, oh, we should go on the internet and find one. So Vanellope and Ralph go on into the internet to try to find the steering wheel and come across all different crazy websites and video games and all kinds of fun stuff.
Why do you say it that way?
Because I don't know. Because you have a weird face.
I was just looking to see, like, oh, when did I? We didn't watch Wreck-It Ralph. So apparently, Wreck-It Ralph has not come out in the last 5 years.
No, it was a while ago. So there's a lot of interesting takes on how the internet works because it's not how it works, but. If it was a cartoon, this is how the internet would work.
It might go a little something like this.
So they go to eBay and this game that's kind of like a cross between Carmageddon and Grand Theft Auto Online and stuff like that, where Gal Gadot plays a character that looks exactly like Gal Gadot. So it's funny. If they didn't have her, they would have someone who looks like Gal Gadot. And I don't know. It's a fun movie. I just hate how Pixar is like, hey, we're going to make a movie, and you're going to fucking cry. It's like, why? Why do you have to... Can't we just enjoy a movie? I want to enjoy a movie. There was a part in the movie. I'm just like, why are you doing this to me, movie?
I was going
to
say, like, I don't know the last Pixar movie I cried. Oh, yeah. No.
So it's like... I don't know why they do that. I guess it's life lessons and stuff.
Was Big Hero 6 a Pixar movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
I'm pretty sure that was. But yeah, it was really good. If you see the most recent trailers for Wreck-It Ralph, they show a lot of the movie now, which kind of sucks, but
yeah.
I'm not going to spoil the movie even if the TV spots do.
Well, the TV spots are there to go, hey, look at how exciting this movie. You want to see it? Okay, go see it.
You saw the movie. What was your favorite part? We're going to put that in the commercial then. I'm like, no, it was the build-up to that point that made it awesome. Not just, hey, here you go. Look at this. Whee! I'm like, no, it was the build-up.
Yeah.
It's the build-up, not the conclusion that made the build-up made the payoff worth it. If you just give them the payoff, you're like, oh, that was funny. Yeah, but you didn't wait.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't know what I'm talking about the Disney princesses. The Disney princesses in the movie. There's a part. It's pretty amazing.
This part?
What? The hood?
I don't know. I was talking to Ken about it.
Oh. No, it's in the newest trailer.
He kind of told me about a part that happens. I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat.
There's a part in the trailer because it got nominated for a Golden Globe. So they're like showing the part where basically... I guess I can say it. They basically, all the princesses become like superheroes.
Yeah. I was talking with Andy Barrett. I think it was Andy Barrett. And I was like mentioning how you saw it and you were telling about the post credit scenes and stuff like that. And I was like, my brother talked about it. He's like, he liked the part. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I like that too. My kids didn't care for that part so much. I'm like,
because they were excited?
I don't know. I don't know what why they
didn't like it. I was so happy. I was crying. I was so happy. It was amazing.
I don't know.
But yeah, I gave it an 8.5. I was going to compare it to the first one, but I can't because I didn't
Yeah, we didn't watch it during the podcast, apparently.
Yeah. So, that was the last movie I watched. It was Wreck-It Ralph.
Last one I watched was Cooties. Ralph
Breaks the Internet.
You watched more movies than me this month.
Yeah. That's a record. So, for me, the best movie I saw...
Oh, I just closed everything.
...was either Ralph Breaks the Internet or Into the Dark, Flesh and Blood was 8.5. And the worst movie I saw was Fantastic Beasts 2, The Crimes of Grindelwald... with a 5.5.
The movies from my list were Monster Club with 6, Triangle 8, Lake Mungo 6. The worst movie I watched this month was Venom. And the best one was Venom with 4.5. The best was Triangle with 8. Yeah, usual stuff. If you have any questions, stuff concerns, comments, requests, or just want to send me $10, email me at stuffbyscott.
If you want to give us movies for free to watch,
oh, that'd be great. If this podcast ever took off like that, I mean, it probably won't because I'm lazy and bad at promoting. But that'd be great if someone would be like, I want to send you a movie. Check out my movie. I go, okay. We'll and then I'd feel honest. Bad. Yeah, I'll be
like, oh, that movie is terrible, but I don't know how to say it.
Like that guy that I hate everything guy.
Yeah.
Who, he's a channel on YouTube. Check him out if you want to.
He's like,
He's searching for the worst movie.
Oh, yeah, the search for the worst.
Search for the worst. But I think his channel's called I Hate Everything.
Or yeah, I Hate Everything.
But he's is he British or Australian? I can't tell with his accent.
I think he's British.
But he watches the shittiest movies. Quite a few months back, I watched Shark Exorcist, and he did a review on that. And it was everything I wanted to say, he was spot on with.
Yeah.
And it's so good. But, like, yeah, he's...
But he watched a movie called The Incredible Bulk.
Yeah.
And reviewed on how bad it was. And they're like, oh, you watched that movie? Thank you. Here, watch Shark Exorcist. And he's like, okay. He's like, I didn't say one single nice thing about their movie. But they're like, publicity is publicity.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, that'd be amazing if that happened where people go, hey, you watch movies? Watch my movie. And I go, all right, I'll take a copy of it. I'll watch a movie that no one else has seen.
Or everyone should see or not see.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a wrap. This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.